So, like I said, this little girl had more faith and understanding than the king of Israel had, evidently. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha the prophet's house. So here he is with all his gold and silver and his horses and his chariots and probably many men, you know, fighting men or whatever. And he's standing in front of Elisha's house. Now, as we go into the next few verses, we see that during this interaction, a couple of more misunderstandings happen. It's like one misunderstanding after another. It says in verse 10, Elisha sent a messenger to him. It wasn't Elisha that came out to him personally. Elisha sent a messenger saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. That was a simple statement, right? Look, just go, take yourself to the Jordan River, dunk yourself 7 times, and you'll be clean. Your leprosy will be healed. Very simple. Yeah, I thought about that. I said, you know, how simple it is for us, isn't it? What are we told to do in the New Testament? Repent. Believe the gospel. That's it. Right? And you will be saved. Just turn away from your ways of fighting me, God's saying, and do what I tell you. Be obedient. Just believe the gospel. Believe what I'm telling you. And you're going to be saved. So it's like, wow, the simple things in life. God works through the simple things in life. It's not complicated. He works through the simple people in life, servant girls, right? This Naaman thought he had to do something, you know, remarkable maybe to get healed. He was a mighty warrior. He conquered nations. Maybe he thought he'd be asked to do something like that. No, he's told, go dunk yourself 7 times in the Jordan River, and you'll be healed of your leprosy. Whoever heard of such a thing? I mean, I would imagine the guy must have, I mean, if I'm not judging the guy, I'd probably think the same thing. Like, what? Dunk myself 7 times in the river? So this is what Naaman says at this point. It says, but Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me, meaning Elisha, that, you know, once he went to his house, he would come out to me and stand and call on my name, on the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. He's got a lot of pride there. He's got a lot of preconceived ideas of how he's going to be healed. God doesn't work that way. God heals whenever he wants, wherever he wants, and however he wants. We don't tell God how to heal us. We just don't do that. It's, you know, it's up to him, his timing, his way. He just wants us to be humble about it. This man was furious. He wasn't humble. Thankfully, that's not the end of the story, right? So he got mad, and it says in verse 12, Naaman is saying, are not the Abana and the Pharpar the rivers of Damascus? You know, hey, these are the rivers I know about in my country. Aren't they better than all these waters of Israel, you know, this Jordan River? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went away in rage. He said, I'm out of here. You guys got to be kidding me. I come into a conquered land, and you tell me to wash in your river when I got 2 greater, better rivers that I could have washed in my own land? Yeah, I came all the way here to hear that? And he's out of there. He's out of there. There's a lot of pride in this man, a lot lot of pride. And, you know, if you want to be healed, you got to be humble. You got to be humble. You got to know that you have a problem that you can't fix, and you need the help of somebody. And if somebody's going to provide that help for you, well, then you need to go and be a little bit humble about it and say, please help me. Please. I'm dying. I'm suffering here with leprosy. But there was a lot of pride there that had to be dealt with. So again, it's not the end of the story, which is good for Naaman. So he talks about these rivers in Syria, saying how much better they are. Why couldn't he go there? And, you know, you kind of think, you ever hear that expression, you look for love in all the wrong places? You look for healing in all the wrong places sometimes. You make things up in your mind how it's supposed to be and when it's supposed to be and where it's supposed to be. Doesn't work that way. But as he was leaving, his servants came near and spoke to him and said, and this is an interesting phrase, they said, my father, you know, they're kind of really trying to draw close to him now. You're calling him father. He said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? You know, we know you can do great things, but this is not the time for great things. This is a time to just obey, to trust and obey, and don't look at yourself for the answers. Just trust and obey. Don't we come across that a lot in our lives when we wind up in a situation that we want to have to try to fix it, and we just trust God to fix it? Because we only make it worse, it seems. We only make it worse. So he went down. He listened to his servants. He went down. He dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean, like a baby's bottom. Could you imagine that? Coming out of that water the 7th time, wondering what you're going to look like after that. And you look at your skin and it's like as soft as a baby. This rugged warrior now has baby soft skin like me. And if you don't believe it, shake my hand. I'll show you how soft my skin is. Not like Sean and John here, these guys, rugged guys working in the dirt and the stones. Now we come towards the end of the story. And, you know, as we think about Naaman and, you know, how he had to sort of recognize his plight here and kind of, you know, work on his pride a little bit. Now we come to the end after he's healed. What do you think a proper response to such a thing would be when you're healed? And I believe he had the proper response. But there's still a little bit that's not right in this story when you read the ending. It's just, you know, gets you to kind of think, you know, some of the things that would transpire after he was healed. But you know, we don't know the full story at times. We just know part, which is good, you know. Then we can kind of think about it, right? Think about it and think about our own lives and some of the things going on in our own life. But it says, he returned to the man of God after he was healed, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him. And he said, indeed, now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant. See, he's thankful. He's thankful. You know, the interesting thing was that Elisha didn't heal any lepers in Israel, but he healed a Gentile that conquered Israel nations. That's interesting, isn't it? You know, God's not a respecter of persons. You know, if you come to him and he's going to honor you, doesn't matter where you're from. But he does want you to know him. He does want you to, in some way, when he does something for you, to acknowledge that he's your God. He's your Father. He's the true God. Because there's a lot of false gods out there. And people will get you to think that they can do a lot for you when they can't do anything. Because they're idols. They're false gods. And there's many of them out there. Many of them. People make gods of all kinds of things, right? That's why it had to be in one of the Ten Commandments. Don't have any other gods before you. Because when you do, you're setting yourself up for a big fall. So he says, I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take this gift. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. Elisha didn't want to have any part in any thanks for this because he knew he didn't heal this person. God healed him, and he wanted that person to understand that. You know, God healed you, not me. Don't give me gifts. I don't want them. He wanted to make sure that that man understood the words that he was saying, that there is no God but the God in Israel. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. He refused. Elisha refused. He just wanted to make sure God received the glory. So Naaman said, then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth. You know, stack these mules with the earth. I don't know really what this means. There's a couple of different commentaries about what it could possibly mean. It may have had something to do with sacrificing, which he mentioned in the next phrase, but I'm not sure how he was planning on using all this earth, which was going to be loaded up on 2 mules. But this is what he wanted. He said, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offerings or sacrifices to other gods, but to the Lord. So, yeah, he's going to offer it to the Lord. Maybe he just wanted soil from Israel because that's where he was healed. And maybe he wanted to, you know, build an altar to the real God using that soil. I don't know. I'm just thinking, you know, that's my own thoughts. Doesn't really say. I don't know why he would ask for that. So he says that he's not going to serve or offer sacrifices to any other gods but the Lord. Yet in this thing, may the Lord pardon your servant. So now he's asking Elisha for a special favor. He says, look, you know, just this one thing, just please pardon me for this. He said, when my master, the king, goes into the temple, this is the Syrian king, when he goes into the temple of Rimmon, which was one of their gods, to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. See, he's just thinking ahead a little bit, you know. Hey, I got to go back to my country now, and there's a time when I got to go into this temple here where this false god is worshipped by my king. And my duty is to bring him in there, you know, maybe, you know, as his guard or by the hand or something. But, you know, when the king worships this god, he's going to expect me to bow down too. Would you please pardon me if I do that? It's really not in my heart. I know he's not a true god, but my king doesn't know that. So would you please just pardon me for that? Then he said to him, go in peace. So he departed from him a short distance. And then something else happened. But that's the end of the story. That's the end of the Naaman's story. But some of the points I think we need to just look at, and I just want to rehearse here at the end, is, you know, like Naaman, can we honestly and humbly look at our lives and say, I need healing? Can we do that? That's the first step to get healing, to know that you need it, and to humbly come before God and ask for it. Because, like leprosy, sin is eating us away, body, soul, and spirit. And if it isn't for God healing us, then where would we be? Where would we be? Like the servant girl, do we point others to Jesus? This was a little servant girl, probably a young teenager, pointing to where this king or this great general could get healing. You know, go to the prophet of God. He heals. And that's what we do, right? As Christians, when we see people in need, we point them to Jesus. He heals. Go to him. He's going to heal you. But you have to go to him humbly, knowing your need. You have to go to him knowing you have a problem. Because if you don't, how are you going to get help? Right? I think it's like, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous or any program maybe where, you know, people have addictions. We all have addictions. But, you know, some of them have like a plan, a couple, like 12-step plan, I think it is. And, you know, the main thing is to admit that you have a problem. Admit it. Don't hide it. You're only hiding it to yourself, right? And you're not hiding something we all don't try to hide. We all try to hide our leprosy, you know, cover it up with something, but it's still there. Just got to be honest about it. And don't be ashamed because you're coming to God with it. It said he took our shame. Took our shame on the cross. He said, cast it all upon me. You know, confess your sins to me. You know, when you look at this story, and I was thinking, and I'm saying, why are we made so dependent on God? Why? Why are we made so dependent on him? Simply put, there's no life apart from him. And he knows that. Just that we don't. We don't understand that sometimes. He is our life, right? Without him, there's no life. You wouldn't be here to begin with. And you won't be in the hereafter if it's not for him. He's taken us every step of the way. A lot of things are mysterious, yes, but can we look at his word and trust it and just say thank you? I repent and believe your word that I am saved. Because you're saved when you don't believe it as well. He's just waiting for you to believe it. He wants you to believe it. It's going to do you good to believe it. The story of Naaman is the story of our redemption, showing us our need for repentance of our pride, healing, and grace. That's what Jesus provides for us. So it do us good to get to know this Jesus, get to know his life, get to know what he's like, get to know what he says about life. It's not going to hurt you. He did everything to save you. He'll never hurt you. You know, he's not there waiting to zap you because of the next sin that's coming your way. That's not the way he is. He said, I didn't come to destroy, I came to save the world. The world was already destroyed. You can't get more destroyed than you destroy. Yeah, you know, Sierra was saying, when you're dead, you're dead. You really can't do anything when you're dead. Somebody's got to do it for you. So we, like Naaman, must come to the point in our lives where we know there is a God in Israel. Right? Everybody must come to that point and say, there is a God in Israel. Now I know it. Look what he's done for me. Only God can heal us. Only God can save us. And only God can guide us through eternity. And through those things that he has planned for us, because they're all bound up in him.